speaking of terrific writers, I first met Anna Sidor at the Bendigo Writers Festival a couple of weeks ago. She's a writer and an illustrator of over 50 books over a 30-year period. So that's quite a prolific number. And she's been very steadfast in rolling them out at a regular rate. Her latest is called The Family with Two Front Doors. It came out in 2016. And it's based on interviews with her grandmother, and actually tells the story of her childhood, her grandmother's childhood, as the daughter of a rabbi in the 1920s in Lublin, in Poland. So it's kind of a combination of historical fact, I'd imagine, but probably with a bit of Anna's imagination thrown in, we'll have to ask her. It does not focus on the Holocaust, unlike so many books about Jewish families in the 20s and 30s in Europe. There is no violence or hatred. There's just a charming reconstruction of daily routines in the Rabinovich family. So who are these people, and what was it like for Anna to write about something so personal to her? Nice to see you again.
I'm very happy to be with you again, Mindy.
It's lovely to have you back, and it was great to meet you at Bendigo. How did the festival go in the end? You told me a lovely story just off air about the next morning after our broadcast.
Yes, well, I was talking to a group in the Capitol Theatre there, which holds 500 children, and I wasn't sure how many were actually going to turn up. There was no way that the 500 were going to come, I thought. So I sat there and watched from the stage as they gradually began to trickle in, and gradually it sort of was about half full and the lights went down, and I thought, oh, that's pretty good, 250 children. And I started talking, and I could hear little rustlings and creakings going on. And then as I was speaking and I was starting to demonstrate things on stage and getting children to come up, they turned on the lights in the theatre so that I could see the whole audience, and I realised that the whole theatre had packed out.
Great.
And I had 500 kids there.
So they were all kids or kids with their families?
No, they were school children. The schools had brought them in from all over the place near Bendigo and brought them in to listen to all the audiences. That was a special schools day on the Friday before the main festival got going.
What was the age group we're talking about here?
Well, they said anything from mid-primary up to lower secondary for my session, and that's what it was. I could see the full range of age groups in the audience, because the amazing thing about The Family with Two Front Doors is it is appealing to an incredible range, not only of children but even of adults, I'm finding, which is fantastic. The adults are loving it as well.
The best kind of book.
Yeah.
The best kind of book to be able to do that. And the most popular and the most successful books have been able to cross that huge range of age groups and have their bit something there. And I think that a family story can do that, can't it? Because you've got a whole lot of different people that individual readers can relate to.
Yes, I think that's one thing. And the other thing is, because it's giving a peep show into another culture that is really intriguing people, and that maybe adults also want to know about, because I'm finding, you know, people saying, coming up with all sorts of stories about this vague relationship they have with Jewish people or a Jewish family relative somewhere along the line, and they want to know more. So whether they're children or whether they're adults, they have this extra interest in the story because they want to know something that it can offer.
Well, often we just hear stereotypes, don't we? We hear generalisations, stereotypes. You say Jewish family in the 20s in Poland. I mean, I can just imagine what that story would immediately spring to mind in people's heads, in people's memories. But this goes in a very different direction. I remember when I first saw that we were going to be talking together at the Bendigo Writers Festival the night before on the broadcast, and I saw the name of your book, and I thought, I wonder if there really were two front doors.
Ah, yes. Well, that is, everything in the book is inspired by something true that my nana told me. And the family did live in a house with two front doors on it. Or what happened was, there were so many children in the family, that, you know, they were a family of nine children, that they couldn't fit into one apartment. So they actually rented two apartments, and Nana said they had two front doors.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
And there's the title before you even knew
about
it.
That's right.
The conversations with her, though, began... I don't think you actually spoke to her with a view to writing the book, or
no,
it was just family stories.
Well, it was to capture her history before she went. So when she was younger, and when I was younger, she never talked about the past, because it was overrun by her horrible memories of later on, when she did go through the Holocaust. But when she was getting old, she was living in Melbourne. We were all in Melbourne, and we were all safe and happy, and she was getting towards the end of her life. And my husband kept saying to me, you should try and get her stories before she's gone, because she hasn't told you anything. And I said, well, she doesn't like talking about the past. I mean, she's got these horrible memories. And he said, can't you get her to tell you about before the war? And so one day I sat her down, I had my notebook, and I said, Nana, tell me about when you were a little girl before the war. And suddenly all these beautiful memories opened up that she'd forgotten herself.
Oh, wow.
And yeah. It was the most wonderful experience for her as she got old to suddenly be able to go back. So for both of us, we went back to this beautiful, happy time when all the family was alive and they were all together, and all these lovely memories of celebrations and festivals and all the little daily bits and pieces that they did, all the characters of her brothers and her sisters and everything all came back again, and she just, all these stories flowed out. And I was scribbling madly away, writing them down as she talked, and I went home and sorted it out and put it under headings and just put it away in a drawer and thought, well, they're gorgeous stories.
Maybe I can use them.
Maybe I'll use them one day. At the time, I was busy writing other books. I was just at the beginning of my writing career, and I could see, well, especially the story she told me of her older sister, Adina, getting married at the age of 15 to someone she'd never met. I thought, wow, you know, that's an amazing theme for a book, but I didn't use it yet, and that took me another 20 years before I dug that story out of the drawer.
So when you were digging that out and decided it was time to write that book, what emotions did you feel when you were starting to put together that story that you had shared so closely with your Nana 20 years before?
Lots of emotions. We didn't have many photos of the family. I had one main photo with a lot of the family members in it that was taken in the 30s, just before the war. And I would look at that photo to try and imagine each of their characters and put, you know, the names to these stories that Nan had told me and the faces to the stories that she told me. But while I was doing that, I also knew what their future was.
Yeah. What, How many of them survived?
Only three survived.
Right, of the nine.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So... And I was looking at those people and knowing the stories. For example, she told me a story of Yakov, her mischievous little brother who used to go off to the blacksmith, and he was interested in everything mechanical, and he wanted to go off to America, and his family wouldn't let him.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course...
He would have survived had he done that.
Yeah. But I brought him back as this, you know, gorgeous, mischievous little boy, and he's alive now forever, because and that's what I've done with all the family. That was what was in my heart. But I didn't want to think about the bad times. I was only concentrating on the happy times, and I was wanting to bring back that memory of the happy times for all of them so they could live on forever.
Beautiful. It's a lovely approach to something, an emotional one, I'd imagine. I want to come back to that in a moment. But where did your grandmother fit in the nine?
I think she was about number six.
Okay, so she was sort of in the middle around to
the middle.
Bottom.
Yeah, yeah.
Middle to bottom. When there's that many kids, I think it becomes actually a mass of
there's
children.
A funny story with that, because she always told me that she was younger than her sister Esther. And that when she wanted to get married herself, the older sister had an arranged marriage. Adina had an arranged marriage at the age of 15. But my Nana actually fell in love. She managed to meet a boy and fall in love and wanted to marry him. And her father was going to organise a matchmaker and get it all organised to make it look like it had been done by a matchmaker, because she wasn't allowed to find her own person and fall in love. But the problem was that she was not the next one in line to get married.
Oh, I see. Yes.
Supposedly, she had an older sister, Esther, who was not married yet. And that's what we were brought up being told, this story of Esther being the older sister. And this was a legend in the family. And Nana, came out eventually, you know, as a displaced person after the war, and she gave her age when she was born, and she had all these new certificates made and everything. But then when I went to Lublin to do my research, after I'd written the book, and I was near the end and I was just tidying up some details, and I went to the archives office and I got her real birth certificate, and I discovered that she was actually 5 years older than she'd always told us.
Right.
And that really, she was not younger than this
so
Esther person.
She could have been,
whole story.
She was the next person.
Yes.
Oh, that's fascinating.
But she'd created this whole story because to maintain the fact that she was the age that she was claiming to be.
That's fascinating. How many, I mean, I know my nana used to lie about her age as well. It's just so great. That is sort of the thing you never admitted to how old you were. Anna Sidor is here. Her most recent book is called The Family with Two Front Doors. It's incredibly precious to her for all sorts of reasons in amongst the 30 or so books that she's written over the years, because it is such a personal story and a story of her grandmother's early years in Lublin in Poland. What's the major difference between sharing a book like this, which is so close to you, and sharing that with your listeners, listen to me, I can't help myself, sharing that with your readers, compared to sharing a book that has been conjured purely from your imagination with your readers? Did you feel a certain level of protectiveness around these characters?
No, interestingly, relating to readers is about the same. I've always found that with my books, because I get very involved with the characters and the stories and they become real to me and their worlds become real to me, that I relate very closely to them, and the readers get very involved with them and fall in love with them and write me excited emails, I'm your number one fan, whether it's a fantasy or... In fact, I've had funny incidences when I've been talking about my Viking magic books, Runestone, Wolfspell and Stormriders, and I've been in schools, and when the question time comes, you know, there inevitably will be a child who put up their hand and will say to me, is the story true? And they're fantasy stories with witches and fairies and everything. No, not quite fairies, but little folk and everything.
Yeah.
And these are great.
Do you hate saying no? I feel like I'm piercing some marvellous picture.
Well, I say, look, it's all based on truth. Yes. So when I came to writing my family story, The Family with Two Front Doors, it was also an experience of writing about a family that I was attached to. It was more personal for me, but for readers, it's still a similar experience that they're... for them reading it, that they're just reading about a family and relating to it like they relate to all my other characters.
Mm. Yeah, that's lovely. Is that something when... I was sort of thinking about the idea that you've written for a long period of time now, and there's a lot of books out there, and some of the other books that you've written, other series that you've written, and you'd have readers who first found you in the early stages of your career, who having kids of their own, and that they have a special place in their hearts for those early books, and how it must be interesting for you to have those conversations where in fact the books that are so long ago for you are still the most precious ones to certain readers. Oh. Because the books that we attach to when we're kids never really leave us.
Absolutely. It's all the time I'm coming across and still getting emails from all over the world from people who read, for instance, the Viking magic books and some of my other ones and lots of older books that are out of print now or whatever, they still are, I still get messages all the time and come across people. In fact, at the Bendigo Writers Festival, when I arrived and checked in at the front desk at the hotel, the girl there was so excited to meet me because she loved Runestone, which I wrote back in 2002, I think it came out, and she was so excited to meet me. And I've got, in fact, there's a girl now who has loved the book ever since she was a child. She's now 21 and she's into videos and acting, and she's actually trying to get it turned into a film now. She's always wanted to, and now she's getting a team together and just going to do it. So yeah.
When you were starting out, was there a particular thought in your head that you wanted to write for young readers, or was that something that... are you born a young reader writer, or are you made a young reader writer?
I think it's because I'm actually still about 12 years old inside.
Yeah, that's funny.
And I write, well, also, I think it did start off almost intentionally, because I noticed that when I was writing non-fiction books to start off with, like Australian social history type books, I found that other books around didn't focus on children. That children were almost lost, not only in Australian history, but in lots of historical books, children didn't really get much of a mention. It has turned around a bit now, but at the time I started writing, back in the late 1980s, it was very rare to be able to find out what children's role was in the past, what clothes they wore, what they liked playing with, all those sorts of things. And so that was what I wanted to do. I wanted to bring children into the world and show, you know, for children and about children for readers. So that was how it started. And I've just kept on going because it's such a wonderful, interesting area. So whether it's for children to read or whether it's for adults to read about children, doesn't really matter. It's just a part of history that was almost lost.
It was almost lost. It seems incongruous to think that now, doesn't it? Which, you know, since the Potter craze and discussion, but once upon a time, it was incredibly difficult to find a children's story or a story about a child or children that would resonate with readers in a particular way. Yeah, well done you. I was going to ask, I'm later in the night, I'm talking to these guys about the Lee Child book, which is the book about the guy writing a book, you know, which is crazy. But in it, it's actually written like it's a Lee Child thriller, but it's actually writing, you know, in a thriller-esque kind of way about a guy sitting at a desk coming up with stuff. But Lee Child comes across to me as the most regimented writer I've ever heard about. 1st of September every year, he sits down at his desk, kind of with the page ready to go, and then comes up with something. He gets inspired by, he goes to a bookstore earlier that day, and next thing Jack Reacher's in a bookstore. There is no real plan. It just kind of flows out of his head. But he has to be regimented, and then he has to start on the 1st of September each year and then finish by mid-April or something. What is that for you? Are you regimented? Do you get hit by a bolt of lightning and decide that's the next theme of my book, or are you much more planned than that?
I am much slower than that. I had to write some books very fast early on, like really early on in my career, because publishers were demanding them within a certain time limit, but I've got slower and slower and slower as the years go by.
Is that because you get more successful and the publishers are actually a little more lenient?
Part of it was changing from non-fiction to fiction,
right?
Which I did with Runestone in 2002, and that one was my longest book at the time to write. That took me a couple of years to write, researching about Vikings and creating characters and things for the first time. But since then I've got slower and slower, partly, yes, self-indulgence. I've reached the point where when I was writing about my Nana, I thought, well, I want to write this, whether it's published or not. And it took me 5 years to write and then to work with an editor and illustrate it. And it was just because that was the time I needed to put it together and to work on it and to polish it and to do it justice. Absolutely. And I'm even more indulgent now. I'm writing a book about my own childhood.
Are you?
Yes, and believe it or not, they're publishing that one too. I'm so excited.
Of course they are. And is that based here?
Yes, Melbourne in the 1960s. But there's a link, because it's actually linking back to the family with two front doors.
Right.
Because it's going to be a couple of generations later. So I'm creating a link with Naomi, who's the child in the family with two front doors, the 10-year-old child, who is my grandmother. And it starts off with the grandmother, no longer a 10-year-old child, but an actual grandmother waiting for her grandchildren to arrive.
Nice. That's nice.
You know, 40 years on in Melbourne in the 1960s instead of Dublin in the 1920s.
Mother or father connection?
Father.
Father.
Yeah, my father's mother. Yeah.
And who do you read when you want to chill out?
I read a lot of children's books.
Do you?
Yeah.
So you work in the field, but you're interested
in reading? I still read them. I still love them. And I still often go back to my old classics from my childhood. So some people say that my books do have a slightly old-fashioned feel to them, which is not surprising.
Well, I heard someone say that this is like an Australian, like a Polish Little Women.
Yes.
What do you think of that?
I love that.
I'd be pretty happy with that. The family with two front doors, that is a Polish Little Women. So reading children's books, do you read them and do you steal ideas? Let's be frank. Do you steal their ideas, or is that purely just for pleasure?
Purely for pleasure. I think maybe sometimes I get a little bit influenced by something I've read, but then usually when I do, my main reader, my sister, Tamara, reads it and says, "You've gone wrong here, this doesn't sound like you."
Is that right?
Yes.
Oh, that's really funny. Does Tamara ever get, you know, kind of credit for the work that she does?
Oh, yes. You always get some little acknowledgement there somewhere, because she's terrific. As I'm writing now, I'm sending her chapter by chapter saying, "Is this one all right?" And yes, she's okaying it or telling me no as I go along.
I think every writer needs something like that.
Yeah.
Great to see you again, Anna. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you, Mindy.
Anna Sidor, who's a writer and illustrator, and her latest book is The Family with Two Front Doors. It's good fun to talk to authors. We'll be doing that a little bit later in the show as well. Before we do anything else, let's hear from Claire Ann Taylor, who has released her debut album. She's an emerging musician from Tasmania. It's good. The album came out last year. It's called Elemental. This is a piece from it called Judge.
But I ain't never heard a more absurd tale told by a girl. She says she lives in a world where they don't care for the gold that you own or the clothes that you wear. She swears they let love be the judge to divinity.